Boom. All right. Let's get it. Week 12, episode 12, or episode 12, week 12, DWC. We're out on YouTube as well as Apple and Spotify under Defense Wins Championships and Defense Wins Championships podcasts. I swear to God, every time I say that's a fucking mouthful. I wish it would just be DWC, but I don't want to change it. But make sure you follow us on Twitter at DWC 2022. And on Instagram at Defense Wins Championships, and as well on TikTok under Defense Wins Championships podcast. Got some good headlines happen. At least like two like big things happen before we were recording for this week. So can't wait to get into that. Got a whole bunch of shit to talk about. Got some ticky tack stuff to talk about, and we are ready. For week 12, the bye week of everybody's fantasy team. I know everybody's been scrambling, trying to figure out who they're going to put on their team. We're going to be seeing a lot of under 100 points scored for a lot of teams. But my team averages under 100 anyway, so, you know, fuck me, right? So let's go ahead and get into the headlines. Joe Douglas fired as GM for the Jets. Man, this is what we've been calling for. Forever. But hey, we're just not saying this though. We want it all gone. We want everything gone. This is just like a tip of the iceberg. Well, Sala was, and then now it's going down. We want it all gone. And we're not stopping at it's like the memes of the Reaper knocking on the door. We knocked on the door, we got Robert Sala, we got Joe Douglas. We're not stopping there. Brother, we want Aaron Rodgers out of there, too. We need Rodgers out. And it's hilarious that the whole time, I know my boy, well, he's not my boy, but he is my boy in the sense of being a weasel. Just chilling back, Nathaniel Hackett, like, I don't know about y'all, but I'm still employed, brother. My code still works to get into the facilities. I'm still employed. Which is crazy that these people got fired and he escaped getting fired.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, that kind of worries me for the Jets. Like, I'm glad they fired Joe Douglas. And I don't think it was because of what he was drafting. Like, I think he actually is a pretty good talent evaluator.
Yeah.
He got a lot of big pieces for the defense. He could just never get the QB right, which is – that will get you fired in the NFL. But then I think what got him fired – mainly was the offseason moves. Like, getting Rodgers was a swing and a miss, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to have to pay him $40 million or trade him to another team that wants to pick up the salary. Hassan Reddick, that was a swing and a miss. I know he's playing now, but at what cost?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was just a mixture of, like, he's been there for 6 years. And I think it's just run its course. There's been no winning since he's been there. So I think they just had to move on at this point. Like I said, I think his drafting was good. His offseason moves were not very good. And that's just the way it is. Not a lot of GMs get 6 years on the same team. So he was there. He implemented his guys into the team, and it just didn't work out. So that was a good step in the right direction to get the Jets back on track. Now, going back to what I said I was concerned about, I'm concerned that all of Rodgers' guys are still there.
Mm-hmm.
Sala's gone. They fired Sala a few weeks ago, 4 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. Now they fired Joe Douglas, but Rodgers and Hackett is still there. And all of those free agents that Joe Douglas got for Rodgers are still there. So I'm just – I don't know. I'd be a little nervous. I was the Jets fans. We're not out of deep water yet.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, did they make the right decision here? We'll know after the season. They're obviously not going to cut Rodgers now or try to trade him away now.
Yeah.
But we'll know after the season how serious the Jets are about getting right. I don't have full confidence in the owner, so we'll see.
Yeah, what do. It's like we were, you know, Jets fans. You know, I feel for y'all, Jets and Giants. You know, I got a New York agenda. I feel for y'all. So basically, we were under the water, right? We were drowning. Fired Sala. We got our head above the water. We're breathing. Fired Joe Douglas. Chest deep. Now we got to get out of the water. We got to fire Rodgers. Because like the Joe Douglas thing, whatever, right? We've been calling for it. It is unfortunate because he is a great talent evaluator. I mean, getting Sauce, Quinnen Williams, Braylon Allen, who I loved. I loved coming out of the draft. I thought Braylon Allen was going to be really good. So when he went to the Jets, I was like, what the fuck? But he was cooking. But it's like, you know, you put all these fancy parts in the PC, in a PC, I give it to you, and you're like, oh, shit, this, you know, it's got this RTX, it's got all this cool shit, and you plug it in, and it don't fucking work. That's basically what Joe Douglas is. He got all these nice pieces in the draft, but you plug the team in, doesn't fucking work. You know why? Because I gave you the Ron Port of Aaron Rodgers at the wrong port, you plug that bitch in and it fucking exploded. That's exactly what happened with this team. And that kind of stuff will, it's really a cutthroat, you know, business industry. You can, I mean, these picks, we were talking about Sauce top three corner. He's had a fucking dip off this year, but you know, the team was looking nice. Breece Hall was looking like a top five back. Like it was crazy. And you did all this, and all you got to do is fuck up one time, bro, and it is wraps for you. I mean, he's been there for a minute. They've still been ass. He just couldn't get the quarterback. Got Zach Wilson. But at the same time, it's like you can't get the quarterback right. But at the same time, I was like, can they develop a quarterback? Because every quarterback that's been there was ass, and then they left, and now they're right. I think we saw with the Geno Smith shit, how he's been with Seattle, and then after the Sam Darnold thing, I think it really like set home to the fact that they probably just can't develop a quarterback.
Yeah. Well, that's why, like, I mean, I've talked about this numerous times on the podcast about how, like, I even with how the Deshaun contract has turned out and how he's played, like I didn't hate the fact that they took a chance, because like you said, and the Jets are the same way, when have they ever been able to show you that they can develop a QB? You know what I mean? Like, I get it, the Deshaun trade, ass, Rodgers trade, ass, Russell Wilson trade, ass, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, at some point you got to just look yourself in the fucking mirror and say, we cannot get the QB position right. We have to get a guy that has done it before, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you just have to do that. And you're right. The Jets took a chance. Douglas was like, fuck all this shit. We tried Zach Wilson. We tried Sam Darnold. I'm fucking over it. Let's just go get a guy that's done it in this league before. Mm-hmm. And I commend him for that. But, like, at the same time, he's the guy that will take the fall for that type of thing.
Yeah.
And it bit him in the ass in the end. And it is what it is. Like, I don't hate him for going to get Aaron Rodgers. Like, if you have any belief that he is still the same guy that that can win you a championship, I didn't. But, like, I'm also biased in a way that, like, I've always not liked Aaron Rodgers. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Yes, I was right at the end of his career at Green Bay, but at the same time, it's like, how much do I really fucking know? Like, I'm not a talent evaluator or anything like that. So, I did think Rodgers going to a solid team like that with a good defense and decent skill positions, I thought they could make some noise. Like, I'm not going to lie. I thought they were a little overhyped with the media, but like, I still thought there's enough pieces here. Aaron Rodgers is here to do enough, but he's just not the fucking same. Like, and it really showed. Like, he just couldn't bring it all together in the end, and it got Joe Douglas fired and Robert Saleh fired, like the whole staff. So, I mean, Douglas, I'm sure, had a say in hiring Saleh and hiring Hackett. You know what I mean? Like, that shit will get you fired. If you can't get the right coach, you can't get the right QB, it doesn't matter how many good and Hall of Fame skill positions you get, how many Hall of Fame defenders you get, like Quinnen Williams, CJ Mosley. Like, it doesn't fucking matter. If you don't get the QB and the coach right, you're getting fired at the end of the day. Like, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's really – and we want to, you know, bring that home for you guys, for the viewers. It's really a team sport. It is 100% a team sport. You can have everything. If the team doesn't click well, I mean, we see with all these, I mean, going in college, we see like how does Miami have all these players drafted and their, you know, their team has never been able to get to the dance, even get to the fucking playoffs. Same thing with Florida State. How many we talk about ends in corners that come from Florida State all the time. It's a team. It's a team sport. The whole team has to buy in. And you, like you said, you were down on Rodgers at the end of the Packers stint. I still thought he had a little bit in him just because that's, you know, outside of Patrick Mahomes now, that's the most talented quarterback we've ever seen in our lives. But that's what happens when you just go off of just strictly your talent. It's the same thing that we saw with Brett Favre. It's the same thing we saw with Ben Roethlisberger. If you're just playing solely off of your talent and you get older, your arm starts to go and you can't make those tight window throws that you think you can. And I'm not calling Rodgers dumb, right? Like Rodgers has really low interception rate for being a gunslinger. He doesn't throw picks, but he does not get the ball to his wide receivers. There are a lot of dirt balls, a lot of balls that are thrown out of bounds when he's trying to make the tight window throws. And I, like you said, I just don't think he has it anymore. And I don't think he's trying to rely on using his brain. I think he still thinks he can throw those throws. And, you know, we're going to see the Hail Mary attempts and we're going to be like, oh, my God, like, I can't believe he caught that shit. But in the short intermediate, we can't, you know, we can't move the ball down the field to score because his brother just can't hit an out route. And it's just not, if you can't hit an out route, then you're basically cooked. That is the most basic throw we need. You can't hit it out. You can't hit it in. You can't hit a dig. I mean, the digs are going to the dirt. The digs are going outside 1,000 miles an hour. If you can't hit those, then there's nothing we can do. And with the, like you said, with the Browns on their development, I think there's a lot more there's a lot more teams in this league that can't develop a quarterback right now than there are teams that can. I mean, you look at the Steelers. We tried to do everything that we could with Kenny Pickett, and I don't think he could, you know, we could develop him anymore. I think it was just wraps, or when we tried with any other QB, we couldn't really develop that QB. I mean, Ben, we developed a little bit, but I think he was just working off soul fucking talent. I mean, that was one of the most talented quarterbacks coming in. So what did we do? We got Justin Fields and we got an old head in Russell Wilson. It's when you realize that kind of shit, it's a lot easier, but sometimes you just have to take those big swings. And I mean, when they got Rodgers, people were saying Super Bowl or bust, Super Bowl or bust. Well, we're at bust. Mm-hmm. So we just need to pause. We just need to we need to get all of it out. And if they're making the steps towards it, you know how we are with organizations, right? Organizations take forever to do this shit. Yeah. They've made two big steps. They fired the coach and they fired the GM. Usually that means everybody's going. So if Rodgers is not gone, we have an identity crisis. Who is running this organization if Rodgers is not gone? Because as a GM, you know, we like to assume that a GM signs off on everything. We like to assume that. So if he didn't sign off on a lot of this shit, you should have been fired anyway because you don't have control of your organization. So yeah. If Rodgers ain't gone, I'm done with y'all. 100%. Yeah. I'm done.
Yeah, I agree. I also think, like, with you making the point that Rodgers just isn't the same anymore and he's relying on his talent too much, I 100% agree because, like, if you compare him to – and this was the difference when we did the podcast 2 years ago and Brady was still playing – the difference I saw on a week-to-week basis was, like, Tom Brady cared more. You know what I mean? And that got him to where he was as an older player. Like, there was no doubt – this is just speculation. I don't know what Rodgers does on a day-to-day basis. I don't know if he goes out and throws with the receivers on his team. But just from optically, like, from what you could see from a viewership standpoint, like, from fans, like, if you watch, like, social media and shit like that, what they say in interviews, it's like Brady was out there working with his guys constantly. He wanted to be at the facility. He wanted to be around the team. And Rodgers, you just don't get that feeling from him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, we saw it in the COVID. Remember, Brady was getting in trouble because he was working with his wide receivers during COVID.
Yeah, and I just think that's like a – it's just a mentality thing, and that's why I thought – like, to me, 2 years ago, that's why I thought Rodgers was almost like on the decline, because it just didn't seem like he wanted to be there.
Yeah.
Like, at all. Like, on Green Bay, and it showed in his game. It just – like, it was Devontae or nobody. That's all he would throw to. If a receiver would drop the ball, like a young Christian Watson would drop the ball, he wouldn't target him for the next two games.
Yeah.
I was like, you just can't play that way. It's just not – that's not how the NFL is. And especially when your talent, your arm talent is going down, you're not as mobile as you used to be. Like, you have to start relying on other people. But he never had to do that in his career. So I think that's why now he's having such a hard time in the NFL.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember back then, just when you're talking about the Green Bay stuff, people were giving passes like, oh, like the wide receivers, they have to do this for Rodgers. Like, that it's on Rodgers. If you are the leader of our team, which usually the 100% time the quarterback is the leader, you need to be like, yo, you know, even if it's 15 minutes, let's work. I mean, I remember at the Jetson, when he was out there doing drugs, the brother didn't even throw passes to any of the wide receivers at the Jets at the time. Like, how do you think we're going to be in those first 4 weeks? I mean, we're seeing with the Bengals now, the first 4 weeks of your NFL season are crucial to how you are going to be for the rest of the season. If you're ass in those first 4 weeks, like I just said with the Bengals, if you're ass in the first, you lose a couple games, now you're playing catch up to trying to win the division, trying to get into the playoffs. Now we're lucky that the AFC right now is dog shit, right? That like we're it's easier to get into the playoffs, but now you're playing catch up and you don't know how the season's going to shake out. And now you could be that 9-win team, and now you're fighting for your life. Week 18, everybody's fucking hurt, trying to get into the playoffs. Or, and that's just how the New York media is, they're going to cook you every week. And that's Rodgers can't handle that shit. Rodgers is not like that kind of thick-skinned guy. So,
yeah, he was.
He's got to go.
He was perfect in his little niche media with Green Bay. It's a team owned by the fans. Like, there was no pressure on Green Bay. It's crazy. Like, to me, it's crazy Green Bay's been this good for this long because they don't have, like, a sole owner. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is insane to think about. Like, the fans have ownership stake, and they've just done it right over there. I think more teams should fucking do it like that. But you're right. I think Rodgers hates the media, and I think he lets it get to him all the time. And he didn't do himself any favors after he left Green Bay by joining Pat McAfee's show every fucking week.
Yeah.
Like he didn't even give a fuck. I don't care if players do – like, I know it's a big thing online. Like, if players – like, NBA players doing podcasts and stuff, like, after each playoff game. Like, I truly don't care about that. You can do whatever you want in your free time. But Rodgers, to me, is, like, too – like Draymond Green doing the NBA finals, like shit. He's not sensitive. You know what I mean? He can take what the media will say. Oh, you shouldn't be doing your podcast during the finals. And he'll be like, okay, whatever. But Rodgers can't take that type of criticism. Like, he never has been able to. So he definitely has this. He very much has this, he's just butthurt by the fact that Peyton Manning and Tom Brady were in his era. I swear. And Roethlisberger too. And Drew Brees. Because, like, he really is, if you think about it, he may very well be the most talented out of any of those QBs, right?
Yeah.
But he didn't win as much as any of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's almost like you're that talented for what? You know?
Exactly.
Like, what is Rodgers' legacy in this league besides a four-time MVP?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't. No one gives a fuck about MVPs at the end of the day when you never won anything.
No, I mean, it's with the – I mean, Brees had won his Super Bowl, had all of the records until Tom Brady came in. Ben has two Super Bowls. I mean, the MVPs are fine, but at the end of the day, like, it seemed – it doesn't amount to anything. I mean, you only had one Super Bowl. And that's what, you know, the Packers fans are gifted and cursed at the same time, because how the fuck do we have those quarterbacks and we only had two Super Bowls come out of that? That's unfortunate. And it's the same thing with the, like you're talking about with the podcast shit. Like, obviously, I don't care if athletes have podcasts. I mean, I'm an Alabama fan and my, you know, star wide receiver and star corner have a podcast. I don't give a fuck, right? But, like, I see them working. I see workout videos posted. I see the teams posting workout videos. if you're doing a podcast and I don't see any workout videos from you, when have we seen an Aaron Rodgers go into a fucking high school throwing balls to the wide receiver video? When have we ever seen that? I've never seen that.
He's too good for it.
We only see what he's doing. I only see your fat ass head on that Pat McAfee show. So I'm assuming you ain't doing shit.
I don't see
any workout videos. What can I go based off of? I can't just assume you're working out.
Yeah, I've seen you
on the field, brother. What workouts were you doing?
Yeah, like I said, it's just all optics. Like, we don't know for a fact that he's not working out with the receivers.
Yeah. But your fat ass head is on that Pat McAfee
show. Yeah. But like, what he says on the show, him doing the show, how he carries himself, just never, ever, it never looks good compared to like how other QBs handle situations. Like, it's all about how you carry yourself. Like, I know there's old heads that are like, you should just be playing basketball. You should just be playing football. You shouldn't be on TV at all talking about the season. Like, Micah Parsons, like, everyone has a fucking opinion, but truly it's how you carry yourself throughout the season, why you're doing your podcast. Like, not like most people understand, like, you have a life, you have hobbies, you have things you want to do. Football isn't everything. Like, we get that. You know what I mean? But Rodgers just carries himself in such a like asshole way.
Such
like
a douchebag, bro.
Douchebag. It's almost like he's better than everybody he speaks to.
I like douchebag quarterbacks, right? I like Baker Mayfield, but like, if you're a douchebag and you're ass, I'm out.
Go ahead with what you were saying, though. I forgot what I was gonna say, but like, I just don't get it with him. Like, he needs to retire at this point. I don't know if he necessarily loves it anymore. You know. And when it gets to that point, you're just hurting a franchise and yourself and your legacy at this point. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like Tom Brady at the end of his career, he probably could have kept playing. And there's a lot of teams that would have taken him after the Tampa Bay.
Oh, 100%.
Because we knew he cared. He cared so much he gave up on a relationship that he'd had for fucking two decades almost.
Yeah.
Like, that's how much that man cared about football. That's how much he cared about winning. Rodgers, I just don't get that feeling from him. And I haven't for the past 3 years.
No. I mean, it's like, and, you know, going back to the podcasting, like, I don't care. Like we said, we don't care if you have a podcast, but like, if you're playing bad, that's podcast is going to be heightened. Because they're like, oh, you're not, you know, paying attention to the game. You're on your fucking podcast. You're not doing anything. And I'm not trying to make fun of a bad situation that happened to Rodgers, because I don't wish injuries off of anybody. But we need to look into, even if you're an old head, right? We need to look into, why the fuck was your first two plays in the game, your Achilles was cooked? You know, what? And it wasn't like this brother was like, you know, he was just running away from the defender and he was done. What training did we do? We had to do some type of training so that didn't happen.
Yeah,
and I know that shit is just like freak, but like, that brother was cooked immediately. And I remember they were like, oh, he's coming back in 6 months. And we saw the film. I was like, no, he is not.
Zero chance.
No, he is not.
And his, like, and how he plays football, it's like major concern. Like, one of the worst injuries he could have had for his career, because he's mobile. Like, he is not a pocket passer. At heart, he's not a pocket passer. He can be, but like,
yeah.
That's not his game. Like, he always broken plays, escaping from pressure. He can't do that anymore. Like, limiting Rodgers to one part of his game is such an advantage for NFL teams nowadays.
Yeah. I mean, we see it with the pocket passing. It's just, he's not hitting wide receivers at all. And he can't escape defenders. And it's the worst combo with your O-line being dog shit. So if you have a dog shit online and an old QB that can't get out of the pocket, it's over. And, you know, shout out to the Jets for finding Joe Douglas, but Rodgers has to – you still have the biggest problem on your team.
Yeah, they need a fresh – it sucks for Jets fans, because I know the feeling all too well as a Browns fan, but you got to blow it up. Like, you got to start over. You got to keep cornerstone pieces and move on. Like, that's
like it. How unlucky of an organization are you where, and it's, you could say the same thing about the Browns, but y'all haven't fired anybody, you know, thank God for your team. It's but like, if you fire, how bad of an organization are you, right? If you fire your head coach, you fire your GM, and the worst problem is still on the team.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, at this point, they just kind of dug their own grave because they're already guaranteed him $40 million. So
yeah,
at this point, you just got to play out the season and hope it gets better. Maybe something clicks late in the season and you bring him back next year. But other than that, like, you're guaranteed to give him money. So they're exactly fucked. And it's just like it's just like the Deshaun thing. Like, we're going to be paying Deshaun next year, whether he plays or not. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So they might be thinking, oh, we'll just keep Rodgers one more year after this, get rid of his guarantees, and fucking move on after that. Because, I mean, that's pretty much where they're at.
Yeah.
I just think him being on the team is enough to just be too toxic for them to rebuild fully. They just need to cut ties, eat the money. I don't know if the owner will do that, though.
No. Their situation is 100% different than y'all's. Like, y'all going to pay Deshaun and just sit on the couch and make big M's.
Yeah.
But this, because people, you know, on your team like Deshaun, but like Rodgers is toxic to an organization. And that's why, you know, I know Refill's the same way. I have no sympathy for the Jets fans because this, y'all knew, or the Jets organization, not the fans. I have sympathy for the fans. Organization, y'all knew this was going to happen. Y'all knew this man was going to bring who he wants and was going to be toxic. You just banked on him actually still having it. But y'all knew this shit was going to happen. It's crazy, bro.
I really wish I put my money where my mouth was and bet the under on wins for them. It was like, I think I just didn't do it because the media was driving this narrative.
Yeah.
Before the season started, they're like, Jets going to win the division, 12 wins minimum. I was like, Vegas set the over under at like 10. I was like, dude, what is happening? I was like, what did anyone see from last year that shows Salah can fucking win games in this league? I was just like, what? And Rodgers, and what did Rodgers show at fucking Green Bay?
Yeah.
And coming off an Achilles tear, I was like, this might have been the freest line I've ever seen in my life.
You should have completed the hate watch, man.
Dude, unbelievable. I pussied out because of the media.
I mean, yeah, it was – they were talking like, oh, yeah, and Rodgers coming back. Garrett Wilson took that step last year. Breece, like, the defense. Also, that's what I didn't expect to crumble. I didn't expect the defense to be this bad.
Hey, man, when it's three straight years of ass offense – and you guys are holding people to 16 points, it's time to give up. I would give up. I mean, I get it. Like, when you're holding teams under 20 points and you're losing every game, like, that has to be so frustrating.
Yeah. And you just, you know, like, yo, we can't get comfortable because this three and out is coming.
Yep. You have no time. You're on the field all day. It's like, what the fuck,
man? Steelers know how that was.
And you know what? You know what the worst part about it is? Is it amplifies how fans feel about you as well. Because the casual fans will sit there and box score watch and be like, oh, your team gave up 28, 35 points. But if you really watch the game, the defense is on the field for fucking 45 of the 60 minutes.
Yeah.
They got a bunch of stops, and then your offense is also turning it over. So you're just like, like, if anyone wants to know what I'm explaining here, go watch the Browns-Dallas Cowboys game, the first game of the year. We turned it over like three or four times, and we held Dallas to a bunch of field goals, but it didn't matter. It was still like 35 to fucking 17 at the end of the game. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, our defense played bad. No, our offense played so bad, it made our defense look bad. You know what I mean? Like, that's the type of shit the Jets – defense is going through, and I'm sure they're tired of hearing about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. If you're going to be a box score watcher, I just, you know, I hate you. But at the same time, I pray you just scroll down a little bit further and see time of possession. Mm-hmm. You see time of possession. That's when you're like, oh shit. The offense didn't do shit. Oh, why does this team have 31 minutes of possession?
Yeah,
ridiculous. Like, what the fuck is going on? That's enough Jets hate watching. Did about 30 minutes of Jets hate watching.
lots of unpack there.
Another team in New York. Daniel Jones got demoted to third string in favor of Tommy DeVito, and I'm pretty sure everybody knows that this was a financial reason, because Daniel Jones is making 160 mil over 4 years. How do you feel about this?
You know what's crazy is Drew Lock, number one, should be the starter. Mm-hmm. They have completely given up on the year. Like, yeah. Absolutely, they are done. They're gunning for a top five pick, because Drew Lock can win in this league.
Mm-hmm.
And I did see something where, like, if Drew Lock plays, they have to give up more money because of incentives. It's so shitty, man. It's actually so shitty that teams even look at that type of thing and be like, oh, yeah, we're just going to tank the rest of the year, put DeVito in because we don't want to pay you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how ass is that for Drew Lock? I'd be like, you're kidding. Like, what are you seeing in practice? I would actually, like, I hope he said something. What are you seeing from Tommy DeVito that shows you he's better than me? Yeah. Like, he should be starting over me. Ultimately, Daniel Jones probably should be benched, but at the same time, I don't think DeVito's better than him. And I saw Dexter Lawrence was mad.
Yeah.
He's like, Daniel Jones is our best QB we have. No one, well, this is pretty shitty for him to say about Drew Lock and DeVito. But who's gonna fucking argue with Dexter Lawrence? Dexter, that man's a freak. Yeah. And he was like, yeah, Daniel Jones is our best QB, so I don't know what the hell they're doing. I was like, okay. I mean, New York teams are in the fucking mud.
Yeah.
Mud.
Yeah. It's rough out here, man. I just don't know why we're doing finances now. We weren't looking at finances when we gave Daniel Jones $160 million, or why are we concerned about finances now? It just doesn't make sense. And I don't know. It's different than like, oh, we got to give. Let me think of a quarterback. Oh, we got to give, you know, if Matt Stafford was up for contract and Matt Stafford gets a big contract. If I'm the Rams, I'm like, yeah, we have to, because if we're damned if we do, damned if we don't. If we let him go to another team, we're ass, and that team is exponentially better. So we got to give him M's. I don't know what Daniel Jones did in the past years to suggest that some other team was going to give him big contract money. I don't know where he would have went that. Man, we're really feeling the loss of Daniel Jones on this Giants team. Like, the only reason they won that playoff game against the Vikings, because one, we all knew, we called it, we all knew the Vikings were frauds. And two, at that point, and two, look, kind of looking fraudulent now. And two, the Giants defense was fucking phenomenal. It had nothing to do with Daniel Jones. I have no qualms with Daniel Jones. Glad he's not on my team, but I have no qualms with Daniel Jones. But we all know this is a team for a new quarterback. Shador Sanders, Carson Beck, Jalen Milrow. I don't know, but they're going to get a new quarterback. And they can cut Daniel Jones. I forget when, but they, you know, he's not, you know, strapped on that team. But to demote him to third string, what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah.
And putting in Tommy DeVito? I mean, yeah, you're going to get a whole bunch of Italians pulling up, because that's what it was when he played and he won that game. Like, Italians came in strong for. Shout out my Italian viewers. But the brother's ass. He's not good. He's not going to win you games. That's why, you know, you'll see later on for my pick of the lock of the week. You'll see why, but he's ass. And I don't know, when you do this kind of stuff, it's detrimental to your team, your organization, because you should already be questioning why the fuck they like Daniel Jones, right? It'd be like, bro, like, Daniel Jones is QB1, blah, blah, blah. Like, I love this dude. this is my guy, and you demote him to QB3, you're already making them suffer enough by having them play football because the team is ass.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm Malik Nabers, I know I'm not going to, you know, I'm playing with Daniel Jones. That's in of itself. Ass. Now I got to play with Tommy DeVito. And I don't know what the, like you said, with the Drew Lock shit, I don't know what practice was, but usually the second team works with the second team, the second string quarterback, and the third string works with the third string quarterback, right? So, like, now I'm on first string, and I got to work with the third string quarterback. You're giving me a week to do, less than a week to do this, to learn how Tommy DeVito throws the ball, how he reads defenses. Now I got to learn that from him. So, what the fuck are they expecting to do? I know they're trying to tank, but, like, bruh.
To me,
you can do that with Daniel Jones.
To me, this is the type of move that you can pinpoint and understand who is a bad franchise and who isn't.
Yeah.
Because when you make a move like this, like, I do think Daniel Jones, they need to move on from him, right?
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like since you're paying him and he is the best QB on the team, you might as well just ride it out with him, right? Mm-hmm. And then maybe you can trade him in the offseason if he gets a little bit better, maybe like for a fucking sixth, fifth round pick. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But who wants to pick up the contract? I get it. But you can't make a drastic move like this and then make the wrong decision on the second part of it. You see mm-hmm. what I'm saying? Like, this is an easy tell on they don't know what the fuck they are doing, because Daniel Jones gets benched. All right. Everyone was kind of waiting for it. We were like, finally, he's benched. They're just moving on from Daniel Jones. All right, let's put in Drew Lock, right? Drew Lock has had some success in the NFL. He has a big arm. He'll probably be able to get Malik Nabers the ball. No, we're going to go to Tommy DeVito, who has no future in the NFL. And you can't even argue. Like, I guess if you want to say, we're going to see what the young talent has. No, you can't even argue that with Tommy DeVito. You know what I mean? So what are we doing in this situation? Like, if I was a Browns fan, I'd be fucking pissed. You know what I mean? And like, it'd be different, like, if we didn't go with Winston and we put DTR in, because DTR still has, like, talent. We don't necessarily know what he is in the league. Like, that would mm-hmm. make sense. See what we have with him. Maybe trade him at the end of the year if he does well. But Tommy DeVito, if he's not on the Giants, he is not on another team.
Yeah.
So I just don't understand the move. They're just dysfunctional. I don't even know if, like, Dable's going to have a job after this season.
I think his job is in question, and that will be the quickest firing and rehiring I will ever see, outside of if you guys fire Kevin Stefanski.
Dable will be a fucking – I mean, he'll either be another head coach at some point in his career, or I think what happens with him is he'll get fired. He will be an OC again for a team, do really well, and then get rehired in a few years. Stefanski would be the same way. Stefanski might just be a fucking head coach immediately mm-hmm. after getting fired from the Browns. But, yeah, I don't know what the Giants are doing. It just looks bad again. Like, why do teams do this? Like, it doesn't make sense. Unless Drew Lock legitimately told all the coaches to fuck off. You know what I mean? Then why isn't he playing? No one can look me in the eyes and say Tommy DeVito is better than Drew Lock.
Yeah.
No one. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. No one. Not even casuals can tell me that.
I mean, all we're doing is comparing two packs of ass to one butt. You know what I mean? But that one butt's better than that two packs of ass. Yeah. I watched Tommy DeVito. Yeah, he won like one or two games, but like, Daniel Jones has infinitely better talent than Tommy DeVito, and I think they should leave Daniel Jones. So if I think they should leave Daniel Jones and he's twice as better as a QB than Tommy DeVito, what the fuck? But, you know, at the same time, y'all can just go to all you got to do, right? Obviously, it's going to get you in trouble. But, you know, just message us at DWC2022 in the Twitter DMs, Giants organization. Just message us, hey, we're trying to lose games. Then we're straight. I get it. We're straight. But I like to assume people don't try to lose games. So why aren't we putting in Drew Lock, who we have seen have success at different organizations? Why aren't we doing that? Drew Lock, if anything, right? Drew Lock can still lose you the game, right? But if anything, he makes this game at least a little bit more exciting, a little bit more. That's what the QB2 gunslingers are there for, to throw the top off. That's why we had Mason Rudolph. Like, obviously, Mason Rudolph isn't, like, a good, complete QB. But what he does is he throws the hell out of the fucking ball. So that's all that matters. That's what puts butts in the seats. We get to see Malik Nabers go for 125 because he's getting fucking spammed. That's what I love to see. So I don't know what they're doing.
Like, just to add to the point of, like, Drew Lock, like, I mean, if you are tanking, you're going to go after a QB, correct? Because they wanted a QB this year. They wanted Drake May. It was pretty fucking obvious. But, like, you have to be realistic about this type of thing. Like, if Drew Lock is going to be a cheap guy that you can keep on the team as a bridge QB, so if you really want to play it smart, why don't you just let him play the rest of the year, see if he can be that bridge QB for you, and then draft a QB that can sit behind him, or wait another year and then draft a QB then. Like, I just don't fucking get it. Like, it makes no sense to me. Like, the reason we're playing Winston right now is because we can keep him. He clearly is good enough to be a bridge QB. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we're playing him through the year, and we're probably going to pay him next year to be our bridge QB. Like, why aren't they doing that with Drew Lock? Did he sleep with Dable's fucking daughter or something? Like, what is happening? What is happening?
I don't know.
None of it makes sense. And that's the type of move that pisses me off more than anything about these franchises. Like, why is the QB position so fucking, no one can make the right decision ever. Like, ever. And I'm not even talking about drafting the right guy. I know it's hard to get the franchise QB, but, like, when you have to make the in-between moves to get to that point, like, it's just a disaster all around for these franchises. The Giants, the Jets, the Panthers, the Browns. Like, we just, it's just over and over again making the same mistake back to back to back to back. I just don't get it.
Like we say who over here at DWC, man, just give us a couple mil real estate in the area. I promise you we will do a better job.
I promise you
there had to have been one person in that building that said, you know what, how about we not give Daniel Jones 160 mil? Yeah. Or, hey, you know what, I get the Tommy DeVito, you know, love. I want to win a game. So how about we put in Drew Lock? How about we just see? This could be our bridge into, you know, because the QB's coming in this year. We're, at least I know, and I'm pretty sure Reed is on the same wavelength. We're not the highest on these QBs coming in. None of these QBs, as it stands right now, none of these QBs coming into the league should be starting day one. None of them. Not Carson Beck, not Shedeur Sanders, not Jalen Milroe, not Quinn Ewers. None of them should be starting for their first year of the NFL. So we need to start getting some bridge quarterbacks coming in to try to teach them, because as we said and Tom Brady has said, a lot of these college quarterbacks aren't really learning the game. So we need to sit down and have them learn for a year and have these bridge quarterbacks. But if we're not, you know, giving these bridge quarterbacks opportunities to be bridge quarterbacks, we're kind of fucking ourselves over. And that QB we think we're going to get, the QB we think that's going to hoop, his development goes in the drain because we can't develop a fucking QB. So it's just going to be a continuing cycle. And I have no sympathy for people that put themselves in that situation. It's really easy to get out of it.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
So, yeah.
Teams get desperate. Every year when these franchises see teams like the Commanders get a rookie and they are automatically better, or the Broncos with Bo Nix and they look better, they just start making dumbass moves, man. that's why there's two or three QBs every year that shouldn't be drafted as high as they should, like, are. You know what I mean? Just desperation.
It's a lot of monkey see, monkey do. We can't be the team that loses out on this, bro. Like I say every week, bro, these teams are going to be teams when you die. I promise you and college players are getting even fucking better. I promise you there's going to be somebody that comes into the draft that's going to be great for you guys. So speaking of maybe I mean, it's a dumb and smart decision at the same time. Do you think Mike McCarthy is going to get fired at the end of the season?
You know, Jerry Jones keeps saying that, like, his job is safe and he hasn't lost the locker room, but I just feel like it's happening. I don't know. I mean, when's the last time we've seen the Cowboys this bad? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's been a minute. For as much as we shit on the Cowboys, they've been consistently in the playoffs.
Like 10, 12 wins every year in the playoffs, usually at the top of the NFC. It feels like it's time. How many years has he been there now? 3 years?
Yeah.
It just seems like Jerry Jones is putting it out there. Oh, I'm not going to fire. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. And then he's just going to fucking pull the rug out from under McCarthy. Especially with the rumors. I know Deion shouldn't be an NFL coach right now.
No, hell no.
I know. But there's rumors that he wants to be the coach there. His son is going to get drafted by him. They're going to move up to get him. A little interesting sprinkle. Shedeur Sanders said he's going to play in the East-West Shrine Bowl. And that is played in Arlington, Texas, in the Dallas Cowboys Stadium. I don't think he needs to play in that game to prove his worth. So why else would he play there? Maybe to meet Jerry Jones? I don't know. It could be interesting. Deion has just automatically said, oh, I'm not leaving college football. But we all know money talks. And Jerry Jones wants to bring excitement to his team. That's about the most polarizing thing you could probably do. Get Deion Sanders to be your coach.
Would it be the first coach and son playing quarterback ever?
Probably. Like, at least a starter.
Yeah. Starter, quarterback, and then a head coach, father. I think probably. But I mean, at the same time, like you said, I don't think Deion Sanders should be the head coach of the Cowboys. Now, I'm not saying Deion Sanders is a bad coach. I just think he needs more coaching experience at the college level before he gets into the NFL. NFL level. I think, you know, you have to be an insane coach to be able to, like, do college coaching for a couple of years and then going into the NFL immediately. But at the same time, Colorado doesn't really seem like the college or the team that's going to hold Deion down for, you know, 5+ years. It just seemed like that was the team that gave him the chance. I know Cincinnati, man, I wish UC, but I know Cincinnati was looking at Deion, but it just seems like Colorado was like we'll give you the reins and everything. Come be a coach for us. But I also think Mike McCarthy should get fired. I don't think Mike McCarthy should be a coach at all. If you put a gun to my head and said, what is Mike McCarthy great at? Brother, pull that trigger. I don't know. If he gets fired, right, what is he going to – he wouldn't be an OC. He wouldn't be a DC.
He'd probably be done.
Special teams coach.
Maybe you know what I could see him being? Like, he probably has, over this time, being in the NFL, he probably has a lot of good friends that are head coaches or, like, in position of power in the NFL. Mm-hmm. He could be, like, a fucking – like how Mike Vrabel is, like, a coach's assistant.
Analyst assistant.
Yeah, like, I could totally see him doing that if he doesn't want to give up football. But, like, he's been a coach for so long. He's won a Super Bowl. He's done well. Just fucking retire, man.
Yeah.
That's what I see. Over.
Yeah, I think we both think he should get fired. I really don't think he should have a job. In general, I just don't know what he's great at. And if that is your head coach – I mean, we already saw Micah Parsons kind of throw like a little shade. I know he didn't mean to, but at the same time, the words were not wording. He was like, I want to win a Super Bowl for – I don't want to win a Super Bowl. This isn't for guys like Mike McCarthy. This is guys like – oh, my God.
Zach Martin.
Zach Martin. I'm like, brother, what the fuck does that mean? Obviously, I want to see Zach Martin win a fucking Super Bowl. That dude's a fucking Hall of Famer. He is a – star, and he got injured in the game too, and I don't think it's like an injury. Like, we didn't have any noteworthy injuries outside of, like, you know, Gabe Davis IR, probably out for the season, Darnell Mooney hamstring injury, you know, whatever, but not whatever, you know, prayers for those guys. But I just think Zach Martin's injury was just like, his body's just done. Like, he probably is going to retire here soon because his body just gave out. When I was watching the game, I was just like, that the brother just broke down. And I was like, damn. Mm. I'd quit too. I'm done with this team as well.
Yeah, I know what Micah was trying to say. He's just basically saying all the older players that have spent so much time on this team, good teams too, and like gave it their all. He wants to win a Super Bowl for them. Mike McCarthy's already won a Super Bowl, so I'm pretty sure that's what he was hinting at. Like, it's not for McCarthy, it's for the players that haven't won one before. But you're right. Words were not wording. It made it sound like you wanted McCarthy the fuck out of there. But I get it. Like, I mean, that's what it's all about, you know?
Yeah, it just doesn't seem like obviously we're not in the locker rooms, but like when you see a Steelers game, when you see Russell Wilson going out there doing great, 4-0, shout out the Steelers. You see Justin Fields winning the game. He's going over to the coach, pointing at the coach like, "You're that guy. You're that motherfucking badass. You're my guy." I don't see that with Mike McCarthy. I don't see the players getting a big stop and going like, jumping with the coach, "That's my guy." Yeah. Holy shit, you're him. I don't see that. So, like, and, you know, don't, no disrespect to Mike McCarthy, the way that brother looks, I'm not listening to you. The fuck? Yeah. The way you talk, the way you, you know, you're at the game, drop the Mike McCarthy. Brother, you can't even call the timeout right. You want me to listen to you? Fuck no. And I'm making 100 mil? Fuck no. I'm not listening to you. I'm going to go out there and have fun, man, and lose games. Speaking of having fun, Myles Garrett and TJ Watt, are they trying to add up some hype with this whole DPOY mishap? Should have been TJ Watt that won the DPOY. But, yeah, this DPOY mishap to try to add hype for this Thursday night game, which is going to be dog shit anyway.
Yeah, I think both are just trying to add a little hype to the game. I don't know what the reporter specifically asked Myles Garrett, but obviously Myles said somewhere along the lines he wants TJ to apologize for his comment after he won the Defensive Player of the Year last year. He said he doesn't bitch about when he doesn't complain about trophies that they have or in his house when he doesn't have it. So why would he complain about it like last year? Like, I'm pretty sure a reporter just egged him on at this point. I didn't watch the clip. I need to go back and watch it. But I know Browns media, and they like to get under the player's skin and try to get him to say something. That is something like I never thought Myles would do, is complain about another player in the league about what they said. So it was kind of shocking in a way, but like at the same time, no one's excited for this Browns game, at least on the Browns side. So I understand him trying to add some juice to the game. And TJ Watt just walked through the motions. He really never said anything back that was like personal or anything like that. No. So yeah, I think they were just trying to add a little juice to the game because this game is ass. The Browns are ass. I mean, what else is there to say? Yeah.
They're like, when I see him, you know, on the field, I'm like, brother, you guys aren't going to see each other. You're not going to walk on the field and say what's up. You play the same, you know, the same side, so you really won't ever see each other. And y'all going, you know, this is an ass game, regardless if, you know, we all know how the AFC North games are going to be. This is going to be ass, you know, maybe minimal touchdown scored, you know, who knows, but you know, the weather's going to be ass, team's ass.
It's going to be a true AFC North game.
If there's no hype, I promise you this ain't making hype. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you know, it's going to be hype because it's AFC North. It's a division rivalry, but this is no added hype. You know, you're on one side of the fence. You either think TJ's better, you think Myles is better. But at the end of the day, they're both Hall of Famers.
Yeah, so they both.
Regardless of the DPOYs they add.
Yeah, and they both said they have, like, mutual respect for each other. They're not friends with each other, but they understand what each player brings. And, like, they know. They know more than we know that they're both Hall of Famers, right?
Yeah.
Because they don't sit there and be like, "Oh, I'm better than him." They're not tweeting about it like the fans are. No. The fans are the ones that get riled up about it. So,
yeah. At the end of the game, they're going to dap each other up, hug each other. talk, and that's just how it's going to go. So,
Fuck
the media, man, because the media tries to make people into villains and make people hate each other, and it's really just, yo, we're just playing the same. We play the same fucking position. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be a competition. We don't have to say it's a competition. I know we, you know, you want to win with your team, but at the same time, it feels nice to be recognized with an award of best. You are the best at this position for this year. That nobody's ever going to say, I don't care about that. No matter what they say to the media, I care about the team wins. Obviously, you care about the individual award as well, because if you didn't, you wouldn't be going out here doing this shit. So, you know, regardless if Miles has 10 or Miles has 1 DPOY, Miles is a fucking Hall of Famer. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame. First fucking ballot. There's no doubt in my mind. Same thing with TJ. First fucking ballot. No doubt in my mind. They're going to be the first brothers in the Hall of Fame that I know. The first brothers. Him and JJ. First brothers.
Honestly, it would be – sorry, I cut you off. But
no, go ahead. Go ahead.
It would be dope if TJ and Miles were first ballots together.
Yeah, they were in the same draft.
Like in the same class. That would be
they fun. Will. They will. Because they're in the same – yeah.
Well,
same
it also draft. Depends on when you retire.
When you retire, yeah.
Because I can see both have multiple injuries and injury history. So I feel like one of them is at least going to retire before
the other. I think yours will before TJ. Yours is –
I don't – TJ's had more injuries though. But I know Miles has had
Miles' injuries are severe.
Well, yeah, that's true.
I know TJ had the torn pec, but he came back. But Miles with the foot injury since he was born.
Also, why haven't the Browns shut it down and just let him go get that surgery?
I don't know. He's not winning any award. You're not winning any games.
Yeah. Shut it down.
I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to.
Yeah, you're probably right, but that fucked us with Baker, so.
Yeah, but you can't force a brother to get surgery.
I'd be like, if I was Haslam, I'd be like, I'll pay you in full right now for the season. Go get that surgery.
I think it's just the recovery. I think he just does. I think that's probably just annoying as fuck. But I mean, you're going to have to get this shit. So you might as well fucking do it now.
Yeah.
But let's go ahead and get into the little ticky tacky. Let me see. An hour. Exactly. Okay. So I can make the timestamp. I got a blindly ranking. I'm going to try to do these every 2 weeks, every week, just so you know. Just, you know, make some TikToks. I got a blindly ranking for Mr. Reed Russell. Blindly ranking these six-win teams.
Six-win-plus
teams. Blindly ranking seven of these teams. Let's go ahead and start with the Arizona Cardinals.
Arizona Cardinals, man. I don't even have a list of 6-win teams in front of me. I'm gonna put them at six.
Six.
I still don't trust
the Cardinals.
I know. I still don't trust their defense fully yet. I do like the direction they're going, and Kyler Murray is playing at an MVP level. But other than that, they're still a little sketchy. Sometimes their offense lulls and they look like one of the worst teams in the league. So I'm going to go six. They are on a little streak. And the division's down this year, so they have a good chance to pull through.
They can win this. They could win this. I will tell you, the Chiefs are not in this list. I'll give you that.
Okay.
So you don't need to reserve one for the Chiefs.
Are these only 6-win teams or like
no, six plus wins? Six plus win teams. Let's go the Minnesota Vikings. You've been down on them. You've been hate watching a little bit.
Oh, they have 8 wins right now too, don't they?
Yeah.
All right, I'm reserving that 7th spot for the Texans because I know they're in there. I'm gonna put the Vikings at 5.
Vikings at 5.
They have been underwhelming. They have been very underwhelming. I like their defense a lot, but Sam Darnold's gonna fuck them in the playoffs. Mark my words, he will fuck them in the playoffs.
All right, let's go ahead with next. So you have the Vikings at 5 and Cardinals at 6. Let's go ahead with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, the Pittsburgh Dark Magic Steelers. I'm going to go 3.
3? Okay.
The Steelers bring something that no one else has in this league, and that is the fucking defense that gets stops every single time they need to get a stop. Every fucking time. It makes no sense to me. And Tomlin, like, Tomlin's a great coach, and Russell Wilson is, I mean, he is a good quarterback. I don't care what anyone says. Like, he's he's still doing it at this age. He's doing enough. I think they're a really well put together team. I would say three. It's unfortunate.
Yeah. Remember they're saying remember the fire Tomlin talks, man? What happened to those people, right?
He's a winner. He's a winner. That's all I can say about Tomlin.
Yeah, especially I think especially in that Ravens game, like make Derrick Henry fumble, and he hasn't fumbled in the last three seasons. Right when they're driving down that deep wheel route to Justice Hill, and Peyton Wilson picks it.
Yeah, like, it just—it's just like whenever someone gets momentum on them, it just swings back in the other direction. What was I going to say? Tomlin. There's something about Tomlin that like is understated in the fact that like he always has his team ready to play. Mm-hmm. Always. When do you ever see the Steelers get blown out? Like, it's rare.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what the situation looks like, Mason Rudolph in there, Kenny Pickett in there, fucking, it doesn't matter.
All right, so Steelers at number three. Now this list, man, this brother has no idea. All right, let's go ahead and go with the LA Chargers.
I'm going to put them at four.
Four. Okay.
God, so who else is left? I'm hoping the Bills pop up here somewhere.
All right. So
Bills or Ravens.
The Chargers
are a good all-around team. I think they showed – you know what was good about them winning that close game against the Bengals? Is what? We haven't seen them close out games like that since Herbert's been on the team.
Yeah.
I think they finally have a coach – and a defense that, like, all right, we can get that final drive to win the game. We can stop them on offense to win the game. Like, they, I think they're a complete team, and they're going to be trouble in the playoffs.
All right, so you have 3, 4, 5, and 6 down, lockdown Steelers, Chargers, Vikings, and Cardinals.
How many goddamn 6-1 teams are there?
This is when this brother gets cooked, right? Let's go. Let me just make sure that I'm not tripping. I just want to make sure.
God damn, the tornado sirens are going off. Can you hear that?
It's the noon. It's noon. It's the little noon sirens. All right. Let's go. Either way, you're cooked. So let's go. You're Denver Broncos.
They have 6 wins? I thought they were 5-5.
6-5.
Brother, fuck me. So what do we have? 1, 2, and 7?
1, 2, and 7.
Oh, 1, 2. I'm going to put them at 2. Unfortunate.
2.
That's really unfortunate. Now, I will say with the defense that they have, they can beat anybody in this league.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not 2 on this list, and I'll preface that now.
They should, say they should be... They should have 7 wins. They should have won that fucking Chiefs game.
That Chiefs game, yeah. I agree. The Broncos they're showing me something, but they're definitely not better than the – I wouldn't put them above the Chargers or the Steelers right now.
You get cooked on these blindly rankings. The next two teams are going to be funny, bro.
I have nothing to go off of. I got nothing in front of me that shows all the 6-win teams.
Yeah, like, blindly rankings.
I didn't even know this was going to be a thing.
All right, so Broncos are number 2.
Kill me. Kill me. Next
team, these Atlanta Falcons, 6-5.
7. I'm putting them at 7. They, honestly, I'm comfortable putting them last out of any of these teams you've mentioned already.
Mm-hmm.
So that one's fine with me because, like, when Kirk has an off day, you know what's crazy about them is their defense has taken a hit compared to last year. Like, I thought their defense would be better this year. It just hasn't been that way. And if Kirk's not going.
Yeah, Kirk the dip has been nasty. I remember I remember literally, like, I forget who they played. Oh, they were playing when they played the Steelers, and we didn't run anything over the middle because of their two safeties. And Bo Nix said, "Fuck all that. I'm gonna put 38 on these hoes."
That's insane, man.
All right, so
this is gonna be the Texans, isn't it?
Broncos. So this brother, he left the one spot for one team. So we have the Broncos at 2, Steelers at 3, Chargers at 4, Vikings at 5. We have the Cardinals at 6, and sitting at the last spot is the Atlanta Falcons. So the number one team in the blindly ranking, according to Reed, right? This isn't me. This is according to Reed.
My God.
The number one team, his worst enemy, the thing he feared the most, the thing that he said was he was going to reserve for the last spot, you're Houston Texans at number one, sitting at 7-5, number one team. Care to elaborate, Mr. Texans hate watcher?
I got nothing to say because they are definitely not the number one team in that list out of the 6-win teams. That honestly couldn't have turned out worse.
Like I was making it and I was like, how about I just do the bare minimum 6 wins? No Bills, no Lions, no Chiefs.
Or the fucking Green Bay Packers. I was like, dude, there's nothing here for me at all.
So once you put the Steelers at 3, I was like, oh yeah, he's cooked.
That's a bad beat, man.
So with the list, what would you change with the list?
With the list, I'd probably put the Steelers 1. I'd put the Chargers 2. Who else? Vikings.
You have Vikings, Broncos, Cardinals, Falcons, and Texans.
Yeah, I'd probably put the Vikings 3, Broncos 4, Cardinals 5, Texans 6, Falcons 7. That's probably what I would do. Honestly, I can't trust the fucking Falcons. Like, I'm comfortable. That might be my best ranking on the list. I'm not comfortable picking them any week at this point.
Yeah.
They're too inconsistent. They either look really good or they look like the worst team you'll ever watch. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, it's definitely like, I remember like in the first couple games, it was like, oh, like maybe the Falcons can take this division. And then teams were like, oh, wait, if we just send 5 people, they're cooked. And we see it, literally Kirk can't move. He cannot move. He can't sidestep. He can't get a little jog going. It's over. He can't do anything. And he goes down immediately.
And they have no pass rush on the defensive side of the ball.
No.
You know why? Because they decided to draft Michael Penix Jr. instead of Dallas Turner or D-end.
Spit,
what the fuck are we doing?
It's a tale as old as time that, you know, everybody says, analysts say, we say, if you can't get to the quarterback, it's over. Bo Nix is going to sit back there and dot your ass up. So that was the blindly ranking.
That was rough.
six plus win teams.
I need to be more prepared for this shit.
That's the beauty of the blindly ranking, brother. Catching you at your worst moment.
That's some bullshit.
Let's go ahead and get into our bets and locks of the week. Throwing it up for the YouTube people, audio people. It is locks of the week are Eagles versus Rams under 49 and the Buccaneers -5.5. And our dog of the week is the LA Rams at the Eagles.
Let's go. Nick's going to be mad.
Shout out Nick, man. Shout out Spencer. Shout out our Eagles correspondents. We're just banking, right, at the time where everybody, you know, to be honest, it's kind of annoying. You know, everybody's meat riding y'all again. I remember they were like, yo, this Eagles team, Sirianni, should he get fired, blah, blah, blah. And now we're, bro, this is the best fucking team in the NFL, bro. Oh, my God, who's going to beat them? It's time for this is exactly what Matt Stafford does, and it was Matt Stafford is great at, putting down the teams in the fucking media, the teams that are big in the media, teams that everybody's sucking off. Let's go ahead and get Matt Stafford in there to throw a quick 253 tuds and win the game. And
we don't need that many touchdowns.
Oh yeah, I'm saying their defense gets after it. I think if you And we've seen this from, you know, past games. If you're able to get to Jalen Hurts and rattle him a little bit, because he's not really – I mean, Jalen Hurts, you know, don't get me wrong, amazing fucking athlete, you know, one of the strongest quarterbacks in the league right now. But I think he's put on a little more weight than he would like and isn't the most, like – he doesn't have that, like, wiggle, like that elusiveness anymore in his running. It's more of just a straight line, I'm going to run you over. So Jared Verse has been having a fucking amazing season. If they can get after it and get after him and rattle him, I don't think that he's going to be able to overcome that. And I think it's going to be like squeak out a close game for the Rams, maybe like a 17, like a 20 to 17 type game. Jake Elliott has been missing kicks, so that is huge for the Rams. If they can just get them off the field, then this under is looking really nice. Buccaneers -5.5. We're just bullies, really. We just kick down the little teams. If you're starting Tommy DeVito, why the fuck would I not put money on Buccaneers -5.5? I think that as long as Baker's not a fucking idiot, they should win by a touchdown or more. I really don't see the Giants, and I know the Buccaneers defense has been kind of mid, but I really don't see the Giants putting up more than 10 points, honestly, with this or the QB change and everybody being pissed about it. Tommy DeVito hasn't played fucking football since last year. It's telling me that the Buccaneers, I'm not saying they're going to blow out the Giants because the Giants still have a fucking amazing defense, but I really do think that they're going to get win with, you know, over a touchdown. So those are our locks and dog of the week. We went 3-3, first 3-3 week, went 3-3 last week. So we're consistently hitting on our locks, consistently, you know, dogs like to fuck us over, but we're consistently hitting our locks. So, you know, this is just free money for you guys. So I've been making some bankroll from us, and the, you know, we look into our shit, we pick our shit. We're not just picking random shit. So I really think that this is we have a chance of going 3-3 again. We've been going 3-3 and 2-3. So we've been making fucking money. So, you know, lock in on these locks and dog of the week and make some money with us. And we're going to go ahead and go into the picks, which we need to change the last two. We said our dog of the week is the Rams, and we both picked the Eagles. We forgot to change that. So we will change that for y'all. So I'm going to read it as the Rams. I know we have the Eagles down here, but I'm going to read it as the Rams.
Wait, we did what? We didn't change it.
We got to change it. We were picking the Eagles, and then we were doing a discussion on our dog. We were like, we can see the Rams really winning this game. So we doubled down on our dogs of the week. So we're going to change those to the Rams. When they get posted out, it will be the Rams. Don't worry, guys. So let's go ahead and get into our picks of the week. And we got the Thursday night game. And, guys, we will be at the Thursday night game. We make sure to make it a little tradition to go to Browns and Steelers game every year. And last year was at the Steelers, and this year's at the Cleveland Browns. Hopefully the weather is going to be all right. I know it's supposed to be dog shit over there, but hopefully we don't get rained out or anything. But for the Steelers at the Browns, we both picked the Steelers. It seems Reed's back on his train of never picking the Browns again. And he's back with the Steelers.
You've been picking
the Steelers a lot. You've been picking the Steelers a lot this year.
They're fucking good.
I've been fucking with it, man. You haven't been hate watching as much as I thought you would.
Nah, I'm like past the hate watching our division because like we're just so bad. We have no like like last year when we were in the race for the playoffs and like the division. I'm hate watching like a motherfucker. This year it is what it is. The only team I'm hate watching now is the Bengals. I'm just kidding.
What happened to Let's Get Delusional?
Let's get delusional right now. Joe Burrow in 3 years is off the Bengals.
Oh, my God.
I'm just kidding. Hold on, Brandon.
I hope you're right. But the Vikings at the Bears, we both picked the Vikings. The Lions at the Colts, I picked the Lions and re-picked the Colts. Trying to get a little upset going on. The Patriots at the Dolphins, we both picked the Dolphins. The Buccaneers at the Giants, both picked the Bucks. The Cowboys at the Commanders, we both picked the Commanders. The Chiefs at the Panthers, we both picked the Chiefs. With the Titans at the Texans, we both picked the Texans. and the Broncos at the Raiders. We both picked the Broncos. The 49ers at the Packers. I picked the 49ers and re-picked the Packers. The Cardinals at the Seahawks. I picked the Seahawks and re-picked the Cardinals. And for that Eagles at the Rams, we're changing that. We both picked the Rams. That is our dog of the week. So we both picked the Rams for that. And for the Ravens at the Chargers, we both picked the Ravens. So those are our picks, guys. YouTube people, you can see it. Audio people, I just listed that for you guys. So these will be posted today. Episode will be out today. I am currently 6 up on Reed. So you can see with some of these picks, he's trying to get that get back. I went in our, you know, divisive picks last week. I went 4-0. So I've been hooping. I only missed one. I almost did a full sweep.
13-1.
I only missed one. 13-1. So we've been really picking it up back on our picks, or at least I have. You know, I've been picking it back on our picks. So can't wait to talk to you guys next week. We'll be doing our power rankings, and we'll be talking into a little bit of playoffs, because at this, you know, it'll be week 13, and we're going to start to see who's going to make the playoffs and who's not. So we're going to, you know, talk about the playoffs. And we're going to go into our power rankings. We'll do that live for you guys on YouTube. So make sure you guys subscribe. Like, we've been seeing the views. Views have been doing upticks. So we really appreciate you guys. Thank you. This is our first year doing YouTube. So we really didn't expect much. And you guys have been showing out. And we really appreciate and love you guys for doing that kind of stuff. So make sure you subscribe, like, comment on the YouTube. Share all our shit. Share the YouTube. Share the Apple, the pot. Apple on Apple and Spotify, share all that shit. You follow us on Twitter at DWC2022, on Instagram at Defense Wins Championships Podcast, and we'll be dropping some TikToks. I'll be making those soon for you guys. So we're hoping to get big on TikTok so we can get the YouTube community going. So we're also on TikTok at Defense Wins Championships Podcast. So make sure you like, subscribe, rate us 5 stars, all that jazz. Thanks again, guys, for this has been a great year. We're hoping to continue into more years and grow more. This is week 12, and we can't wait to talk to you guys in week 13. So we are out, y'all. Peace.